From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, August 14th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunnath Chiish, Hawa, Toyoksik Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, we'll talk with folks from Cancer Connection about the annual Beat the Odds Run Walk fundraiser happening this Saturday. Tomorrow is Indian Independence Day. We'll chat with Nimi Phillips about a scheduled Bollywood dance flash mob, and donations will be collected to help with relief for the recent flood victims. And we'll check in with the USDA Forest Service about the Cube Cove Restoration Project and some info on the Capitol Christmas tree being chosen from the Tongass National Forest. Those conversations, plus Tongass voices and more, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This Saturday marks the annual Beat the Odds Run Walk, sponsored by Cancer Connection. It's the 33rd year, and the funds raised for this event helps to support many of the services that Cancer Connection offers. To register or find out more, visit cancerconnectionak.org/BTO. And here now to share more are board members Ruth Johnson and Tana Peters. Gunnath Chiish, Hayye Adi, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. It's a pleasure to have you here. Wasiati, how's it going?
It's going great.
Hello.
Nice. It's good to have you all here. It's our first show back after a summer hiatus of a few weeks, so it's good to have you. And of course, things are picking up. Things are happening. There's races happening, all kinds of things going on.
Are you saying summer hiatus? We're still in summer, Boston.
We're in summer. We took a little summer hiatus. We're finishing out the summer, I guess, with these few last events that are happening before we get a little bit more chilly as the summer. It was a pretty good summer, right? Weather was good.
If you didn't count July.
Like some highs and some lows, some real highs and some real lows.
Some real highs and some real lows. Well, that's good. So we're here. We're both board members. I want to talk a little bit about each of your stories as well. But let's talk about this Beat the Odds fundraiser. 33 years.
Yeah, amazing. The race started by one woman, a breast cancer survivor, Kathy Brissett, and she ran it single-handedly with her and her husband until it got a little too big, and then Glacier Valley Rotary took it over, and then as Cancer Connection sort of became the umbrella organization for all things cancer support, they passed the baton to Cancer Connection to actually run the event as well. So we've been doing it since 2005, and it's our flagship fundraiser. It raises a bunch of money and supports all of our programs that support mm-hmm. cancer patients. Started out mostly for travel because it was so expensive to get in and out of Juneau. But yeah, now we help people come in for the wonderful cancer treatment available in town. But we help people travel. We help them house in Seattle if they need housing during cancer treatment. We also have a monthly support group, a one-on-one connection for cancer survivors. We also do public education with our community health forums every year in the fall and National Cancer Survivors Day. So this is the flagship event that helps raise the bulk of the money to support all those programs.
Yeah. How many people participate in the Beat the Odds?
The race, it varies from 300 to 350 people.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Around
that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing. And is it something that it costs money to register? And that is basically where the funds come in to support, or you can also buy a t-shirt as extra, or how does that work?
Well, the $30 registration, you get a t-shirt.
Oh, you get a t-shirt.
Yeah,
but on the back of that shirt is a long list of sponsors we can read later.
Okay.
And there are some really large sponsorships this year. As cancer impacts communities and businesses, these employers, these sponsors see the benefits to their employees, I think is some of what inspires them to help support our organization. So yeah, we have some great small businesses, large businesses, lots of sponsors too.
And yeah. Tian, I know you're a new board member.
I am.
And so I want to get into a little bit about why you decided to join the board, but also what is it, how do people get involved in Cancer Connection? If I was looking for services, what do I do? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to get involved?
If you were a person maybe heading into experiencing some cancer treatment or something like that. Yeah, you can go to our website, cancerconnectionak.org, same website where you can also find out about the Beat the Odds event. But we have information on the website for all those programs, those wonderful programs that Ruth talked about. And you can just actually show up to our monthly meetings that we have available. There's information on there. But then once you kind of get on, you can get in the system and receive emails for some of this kind of stuff, too. So you can kind of get looped in that way. But then there is a really, really painless, and I personally know how painless it is, process to apply for some of those funds that Ruth was talking about. It's fantastically painless compared to some of the many other things you have to go through when you're going through cancer treatment. So it's just feels like a I don't know if I'd call it a blessing, but kind of in the midst of some really hard time when you reach Cancer Connection and it's like people in your local community and they're ready and willing to like jump in and help you. I've been on both sides of the equation now. So I did it all at once, Boston.
But it must be nice. I mean, for you, I know you shared your story, mm-hmm. I think in the spring when we were here for a different event, you had cancer. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I'm just curious, like what this organization being able to reach out not only for the support services, like mm-hmm. being able to get travel funds or that kind of thing, but just the network of support that you felt? Can you talk a little bit about what that meant to you?
Yeah. At the time when I was going through the treatment and even now, it's really hard to find other people who totally understand and know what you're going through. And there is just sort of like a peace that comes when you're like, okay, I just want to be in a room with a few people that just get it. Mm. And so going to the support group, I think was probably one of my first interactions with Cancer Connection or maybe getting some of those services. And so I definitely think, or even if you're not a support group kind of person, but you want some one-on-one, any of those moments where I had one-on-one conversations with people who had been through it, or also my now husband and I, because he was a huge part of it. And so we have kind of connections for those folks too, who are supporting people. And I think that's really important when you're in a small community that, you know, we can't easily get in and out. There's just so many layers that make it harder here, mm-hmm. in some ways, but then also layers that are really great about the small community. And so I think it was just such a breath of fresh air to be like, oh, these guys are here. They're mm-hmm. here in Juneau. They help local people. And that was just so above and beyond. I scoured the internet for just, you know, all these different things, and you'll see pink everywhere. I'm telling you, it's like, but all the money is going to research, which is fantastic. I'm not against money going to research, but it was just so amazing to be like, oh, you're going to actually support me in my time of need. And that's what I need. Like, I want you to also research and solve this on a global scale, of course.
But the on the ground need of, you know, travel or other things just, that are possible.
Or talking to people or going to a run. I mean, I attended the run when I was still going through treatment. And that was also kind of just like impactful in such a different way, because I was like, everyone here is just thinking about this. And, you know, maybe there's other cancer patients that are here with me. Maybe there are like support groups around you. So it's really cool to, you know, experience it in that way too.
I also like that you mentioned, you know, for like your husband, like being able to have a place for folks who are supporting those mm-hmm. who are going through this to be able to talk, because sometimes they are the forgotten in that that world. So it's really nice that both those options are available, and it's really good. We're talking about the Beat the Odds Cancer Connection fundraiser. It's a run walk. It's happening this Saturday, and for more information, you can go to cancerconnectionak.org/BTO. Ruth, how did you come about the board?
Well, it was started in 1997 and we incorporated in 98. And at the time, I was the meet director on the board of the Glacier Valley Swim Club. And Mike Miller was diagnosed, the swim team coach at the time, was diagnosed with an inoperable form of prostate cancer. And he was the founder of the organization because he was just lonely and afraid when he flew out of town. And he knew he didn't want anyone to feel that way anymore flying out of Juneau. So he started this little nonprofit. And some of us on that swim team board with him helped him get it started and have stuck around for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
awesome. You've been there since the beginning?
Yeah.
That's amazing. We're coming up on, I guess it's almost 30 years, yeah?
Yeah.
Like 97 to, I guess we're 27, 28 years somewhere.
Yeah, I graduated high school in 1998. I was like. And anyway. I don't want to think about how many years that was ago.
but I want to remind people that this race is not just a race. There are so many door prizes and some outrageously nice outcry auction items this year.
Yes.
So for a $30 registration, we have over 50 door prizes. Some of them really high-end stuff. You know, Racquet Club membership, Eagle Crest tickets.
There's
a North Star helicopter trip.
Flights.
I mean, and we'll be just calling them out when people come back. So when they finish the run or their walk, come back, we'll be announcing door prizes, and then intermittently we'll be auctioning off Alaska Airlines ticket with a $1,250 value.
I think we have an auction set and a giveaway. So.
Yes. We're going to give away one of those tickets, and we're going to auction. We have two Alaska Airlines tickets.
So
your $30 ticket for this race can...
You could just like do a casual walk with your friends and get a t-shirt.
Right.
Win big prizes. Yeah. Donate to a good cause.
Right. So you don't have to be a runner.
No, but you could be.
I mean, sometimes people think of that. They go, oh, it's a run. But actually, it's
supposed
run
to be
walk,
super
right?
sunny.
Yeah.
It's like, it's still summer. That's why I said it's still summer.
Yeah,
it's
Wednesday.
Super
sunny. The forecast for Saturday is really
so,
nice.
So, like, come and get your tan.
And please.
Get your t-shirt.
Please, everybody, pre-register. Juneau is so famous for being a last-minute town. But it's really helpful if you find our QR code on our little posters and flyers that are around town, or click on the ribbon on our banner on our homepage at cancerconnectionak.org. That really helps with race organization to have people pre-registered.
It makes it easier because this race starts at 9 a.m. So I'm wondering, is that when registration begins or is that when the race starts?
Well, we start talking a little bit at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
We have to tell people the logistics, tell them a little about what to do when they get back. Fortunately, the Diamond Park Bridge is open. We were kind of worried about that after the flood.
Mm.
And, you know, that's something else I wanted to mention is that this walk, we want to take this time to honor those people impacted by the flood. Come together as a community, not just for this cancer walk, but let's come together as a community and walk along that river and think about what's happened in that town this week, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the runners and walkers go across the bridge together. The runners turn right, the walkers turn left, and then they come back together at the end, and we have a bunch of stuff to give away.
That's so cool. So, because it's a 5K run or a 2 mile walk.
Which I understand the run like counts for the runners out there.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you want,
it's
it
the
does
Cup
it.
Series for the Juneau
for all
Juneau Trail and
Runners Club. It's in the thing.
Yeah, it's officially timed.
You can tell I'm a
and
big
it's run by Kim Mosseth is our race director extraordinaire.
It's official. Mm-hmm.
Kim has been out there on her bike coming up with alternate routes if they should be needed, but now we'll be back on the old routes. So
that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really nice. And we should say where it's at. It's at Coxtagoo-Wuhin, Riverbend Elementary School. That's where the race will start, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then it will end there as well? Is it like a big circle? Okay.
Yes.
So, and then when you're done, I'm assuming that's when some of these other raffle things or prizes will be.
Oh, and also everyone that participates gets a free pair of socks from NAO. That's been a
socks,
that's
t-shirt.
Been like a 30-year tradition.
Yeah, it's crazy. You get all this stuff. And then
For $30.
I think it's 50 door prizes.
Wow. Yeah.
We have to give out 50. Yeah. So like we'll announce those. We'll also do some of the outcry auction items. It'll be like a great.
We have snacks.
Great time.
Super Bear provides free snacks for everybody.
Things I don't
the
even
grind
know.
Provides free coffee for everybody.
What? Free cup. Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. That is so good.
It's $30. It's the best $30 you've ever spent. But also, as Ruth said, the pre-register, when you register day of, it's kind of the same thing on your phone. So if you're like techie and you're morning of, just do it, you know, right before you come. You can register whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but best to do it in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to make it easier on the race staff.
That would be fantastic. But even if you're like getting up in the morning,
yeah.
When you get there, you're going to do it on your phone or on one of our iPads. Totally fine.
Well, we'll have the crew from LG Rayfield comes and volunteers, and they'll be able to help you with the online stuff if you really don't know how to do it yourself.
Yeah,
but
that's great.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. What a great event. And Ruth, why don't you go ahead and shout out some of these sponsors that we're supporting our community so
it's
well.
It's a long list, so I'm going to talk fast.
It's so good.
Alaska Airlines, Alaska Commercial Contractors, Alaska Outdoor Warehouse and Embroidery, Alaska Women's Cancer Care, ASCA, AFSCME, Aurora Integrated Oncology, Bartlett Regional Hospital, Baxter Bruce and Sullivan, Colleen Torrance, Core Design and Consulting, DeHarts, Delta Western, LG Rayfield, Hecla Greens Creek, Imboca Lupo, The Rookery, Juno Bone and Joint Center, Juno Drug. You want to take it?
Juno Drug. Okay. Juno Bone and Joint, Juno Drug, Juno Family Birth Center, Juno Urgent Care, KTOO. Let every woman know. Local First Media Group, Mark Smith, EALC, McDonald's, NAO, Pavitt, Petersburg Medical Center Foundation Printing Trade Company, Search, Southeast Alaska Urology, Tony and Bill Schattenberg, Solarod, Southeast Radiation Oncology Center, Super Bear, the Alaska Club Valley Medical Valley Paint Center.
That's it.
Those are the high level sponsors.
There are
more than that.
Yeah,
just
there's
so
a
you
lot of
understand.
Yeah.
Those are just like the big bucks.
Yeah.
What's so amazing is, just the support that this community provides for events like this. Like it's a constant source of amazement for me that people are so supportive in this town. Mm-hmm. And this is such an important race, run, walk, however you want to do it. And it's just nice to hear that long list of names. So, Tana, Ruth, thank you so much for coming in. Let me give the details one more time. It's the Beat the Odds fundraiser run walk from Cancer Connection. It's happening this Saturday, August 17th. It starts at 9 a.m. at Coxtagoo-Wuhin Riverbend Elementary School. You can register online at cancerconnectionak.org/BTO. Gwyneth Cheese for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
absolutely. Up next, we'll talk with Nimi Phillips from Spice about tomorrow's Bollywood flash mob, which will celebrate Indian Independence Day, as well as a presentation of funds raised in relief of those affected by the recent flooding here in Juneau. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. But first, this week's Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Every summer, the docks of downtown Juneau are packed with tourists. Among the visitors are people like Dado Valdez, who prepares the onboard entertainment for one of the cruise ship companies. Valdez has been coming to Juneau for over 30 years, and in that time, he found another family off the ship.
Yeah, I am Dado, just Dado Valdez from the Philippines. Yeah, we are in a cruise ship in Juneau, and you know, I love Juneau. I've been coming here since 1993. I have a very good friend. He was my friend at home. He asked me if I want to come to work with him also. So I said, why not? At first I said, only one contract. But then when I started, then I realized this is the job I wanted. I am a production manager and I've been working for this company for almost 32 years now. In charge of the show. If we have a comedian today, so that's for the night. And on the daytime, there are daytime activities that we need to do. I go home after the each contract in the Philippines. I live in Mindanao, that is in Bukidnon. I work for 6 months and then get to go home for 2 to 3 months, then back to work again. When I started here, there is this Oriental restaurant there, and the owner of that became my friend. So every time I get to Juneau, I do the dishwashing, because I just like to be with them, and he loves that too. And every time I come back to the ship, I get food. He give me food because he owns the restaurant. Play billiard in there, and karaoke. You know, karaoke is the most fun. Yeah, that's all I want to have when I'm in Juneau, just to see my friends.
Can you tell me about the first friend that you made when you started working on the cruise ships?
She is a local. We just met walking on the street. They keep asking me to go with them on that tram. I said, can we do it next time? Until this time, we haven't been there. Yes, for years now. I admit that. Maybe I'm lazy. Since then, until this time, we are friends. Her son is my godson. And I love coming back here because of the people in Juneau. Hospitable, nice, friendly. The Juneau family are my family.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Tomorrow, August 15th, is Indian Independence Day, and in celebration, Nimi Phillips from Spice has organized a Bollywood flash mob that will take place at the Elizabeth Baratrovich Plaza at 6 p.m. It is organized by Nimi, who joins me now in the studio. Gwyneth Cheese for being here today, Nimi. It's so good to have you here, and yet another Bollywood flash
Thank you, Boston. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, this is so like good. our third Bollywood flash mob. And it's a lot of fun. You know, it's just brings smiles to Juneau community. That's the end of the goal. That's what it is.
That is the end goal, right?
To have
a little bit of fun. So tell us a little bit about what a Bollywood flash mob is.
Bollywood, you know, everybody knows Bollywood movies. It's very dramatic, 3-hour, 2.5-hour movies. And we always have 3 to 4 dance songs in it. And sometimes it's weddings or love scene or whatever it is. It's just fun Bollywood dances. And I've been teaching Bollywood lessons at the cafe as well. And so I have 25 dancers joining me tomorrow at the plaza at 6 p.m. To do some famous Indian Bollywood music.
So people have been taking classes with you. And
yeah.
I don't know. Also, I remember for the one you had in the spring.
The Holi Festival.
You had open rehearsal and anybody could join.
Yeah. It was about 100 people join us on the dance floor.
Yeah.
On the street, actually, on Franklin Street.
Yeah.
This time, you know, because we don't have enough big spaces to rehearse anymore. We count the number of dancers are getting bigger and bigger. So this is going to be on the dock, and I'm hoping everybody joins us there.
So people can join in. So if you didn't come to a rehearsal, it's still open to you.
It is open to you. You know, we do have a rehearsal today. The last rehearsal is today at the cafe, Spice Cafe, at 5:30.
Okay.
If you haven't been to the rehearsal, come to the rehearsal today. You have one more chance, and wear something nice and bright, and come to the dock and join us. It's a fun event.
It is going to be a fun event. I know last season at Perseverance, you organized and choreographed the dance at the end of Nice Indian Boy.
Yeah.
And I know our own reporter, Yvonne Crumry, has been part of the flash mobs
She's
now
amazing.
As well.
She's amazing.
And people can, I love that people can join in and learn a little bit about the culture and
absolutely.
Participate in this. Yeah. So let's talk about the reason why you're doing this one.
So tomorrow is the Indian Independence Day. It is the 77th year anniversary Independence Day for Indians. So it's 200 or more years of British brutality in India. And so tomorrow will be the 77th anniversary or the 78th day of the Independence Day, however you look
at it. Right, right. Yeah. 78th year, I guess. Right?
78th,
And that is when India is celebrating their independence from the British rule.
Yeah, 1947 is when we got the independence from the British.
Wow.
Yeah, 1947.
Yeah, and so what happens is there something that happens across the... I mean, I'm assuming that things like what you're doing are happening all over
everywhere,
the world.
Everywhere. Yeah. You know, just like how we do in, July 4th here, we have fireworks, we have raising the flag, salutes, Navy, Air Force, all sort of, all the, you know, Air Force, everybody will be, you know, doing different things, different states, different... Even individual homes are doing something to celebrate the Independence Day.
Oh.
You know, so for me here, you know, I just want to bring something, a chance for our community to have something fun to do. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why not a flash mob?
Yeah.
Why not dance on the dock? You know, why not?
Can you give me a secret or two to a Bollywood dance? If there's something that you would tell me to do first, what would that be?
I would say dance from your heart, listen to the music, listen to the rhythm, you know, then follow the person in front of you. You don't have to worry about making a mistake or anything like that. It's very forgiving. Anybody can join in, kids, older generation, you know, male, female. It doesn't matter. Mm. If Bollywood is something that it's not like ballet or, you know, no strict rules. It has to come from your heart, though.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And is there something, we were listening to a little bit of music as we came in, but is there something about the music? Is there certain instruments that are part of?
So the I picked five different songs. They're all cut into pieces too, so that way it's not too long. Mm-hmm. The full flash mob was only 16 minutes altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And the very last song, all the songs I picked is very famous songs where people recognize the songs from even American. Some of the American movies have some Bollywood songs in it at the beginning or the end. So people do recognize that songs. And the very last song is the national song of India.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
So we're ending with the national song of India, and we're going to toss rose petals on the dock. I'm going to invite everybody in to pick up some handful of rose petals and just toss them and, you know, celebrate it with us. And then we also doing the fundraiser, as you mentioned before. It started with all the jewelry stores on Franklin Street. They wanted to be part of the help with the flood community and do something. And they reached out to the DBA, Downtown Business Association. And we said, you guys can, you know, whatever you can contribute together. And DBA is asking all the businesses downtown or neighbors to make checks to Downtown Business Association, drop it off to JEDC or drop it off to SPICE or anywhere, you know, with that. And then we will deposit it and make a check to Juno Community Foundation.
Okay. So, that's good to know. So let's do that. Let's say that again. So if you want to make a contribution, you would write a check to Downtown Business Association and you can drop that off at either
JEDC
or at SPICE.
Yeah.
And so that they can collect those funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also Franklin Jewelers on Franklin Street is also one to been talking to other people, other business owners and things. So,
gotcha.
And we have a log that we put your name down, your business down, so you can get a tax deduction on it also.
I see.
And so John Pugh, the president of Juno Community Foundation, will be there tomorrow at the event to receive the the check.
Now, is John Pugh going to be participating in the flash mob?
I'm hoping he will do his famous moves with
us.
We
want to see John make some of those moves he's got.
Yeah. I'm sure he's listening in.
Yeah, that would be so good. So, and like you said, there is a rehearsal that's happening tonight.
Tonight.
At the
Spice Cafe at 5:30.
At the Spice Cafe at 5:30. So yeah. If you haven't been involved at all, you can still show up today at 5:30.
Yes, show up at 5:30. We have videos of our dance lessons, so we'll send you the videos. It's not very hard steps at all, very easy. You can follow it through, no problem at all. And also, we're passing out free chai and appetizers a little appetizers.
Oh, tonight?
No. Tomorrow on the dock.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. Tomorrow on the dock.
So 5:30, we're going to, all the dancers going to get dressed up at the Spice Cafe, and watch out for us on Franklin Street. We're going to walk as a group in so colorful and pretty down the street to the dock.
Now, yeah, that is a good question. So if people are participating, what should they wear?
Something colorful. Nothing black.
Okay, right. Because it's Independence Day. It's a celebration.
Indian people are very colorful people.
No sad clothes.
No sad clothes.
So this is the Bollywood Flash Mob. It's happening tomorrow at 6 p.m. That's Thursday, August 15th. It's at the Elizabeth Petrovich Plaza. If you want to be involved, you can definitely show up tonight at 5:30, Wednesday at 5:30 to be part of the last rehearsal that's happening. And if you miss this one, you can, of course, email nimmy@spicejuno.com for future participations. Yeah. I don't think this is going to be the last flash mob.
No, of course not. The next one is going to be November 4th for the Diwali festival. So we always have something more look forward to. And, you know, even if you're not participating, come on the dock, cheer with us.
Just have fun. Yeah.
Just have fun. Yeah. We'll be playing Indian music from 5:30 to 7, freestyle dancing. Come show us your moves.
Because I see you also have some featured musicians and
That's going to happen at the restaurant.
Oh, that's at the restaurant. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's after the flash mob?
After the flash mob.
Okay.
At 7 o'clock.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Over at 7 o'clock, you can get a dinner or something like that to help celebrate. You can find out more about that at spicejuno.com.
Tonight, actually, at the Devil's Club, they are making a special pizza. And we are adding our Indian magic to it. So you just have to come to Devil's Club and check it out. I'm not going to give away too many details.
I love it. It's a surprise. So go to the rehearsal, then go get some pizza tonight.
There you go.
And then tomorrow, either participate in the flash mob or just go and help celebrate Indian Independence Day.
Yeah.
I love that. Nimmy, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about this. It's a wonderful thing. They're so colorful. They're so fun to see. I know there'll be pictures probably floating around all over if you can't make it to the thing tomorrow. But it is something to celebrate and something to see for sure. And sort of best of luck with that, Nimmy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. Okay, up next, we'll talk with the USDA Forest Service and find out more about the Cube Cove Restoration Project, as well as how the special capital Christmas tree was chosen from the Tongass National Forest. But first, a savory moment. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Step in to the savory moment. You've seen the logo, a sky blue circle outlined in a band of bright yellow. Inside, a green 49th state stamped with the words, Alaska Grown. This iconic image means the produce, or honey, or tea, or flowers, you're about to purchase was born and raised where else? In Alaska.
Hey, where'd you get that carrot?
Alaska!
But here's the thing. Except in sweet spots like the Matsu Valley, produce is hard to grow here. It's either cold, rainy, or dark, or sometimes a combination. Ever tried growing a pumpkin in Nome or a bell pepper in Wrangell? Tough stuff. But eggplant in Esther or kale in Cake? You bet your beets. Each year, the Department of Agriculture bestows its coveted Golden Carrot Award on a retailer who champions Alaska-grown produce. And coveted is not too strong a word. Parker Collins, produce manager at the Palmer Fred Meyer, said in an interview, "My boss here specifically made it clear that I was to get after this carrot." And he did, winning the award in 2019. In 2021 and 2022, the Golden Carrot Award was seized by Fairbanks retailer The Roaming Root Cellar. Erica Moeller sells a variety of Alaska-grown produce, but it's the cabbage family that really sums things up. Moeller says it's meant for those cold, inhospitable climates where tough and bitter veggies grow to feed tough people. The Alaska Department of Agriculture has issued this challenge. Spend $5 each week on Alaska-grown produce. Do you accept? Find a link to the Roaming Root Cellar's favorite cabbage recipes at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short-Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtak'u, Bill Fawcett. And the word this week is chas.
Chas.
That means pink salmon or humpy. And here's a sentence. The humpy really flowed along. Let's hear it again.
Chas.
Pink salmon or humpy. Gunashjisht Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska at Southeast for this audio.
Kushtak'u Ish Bill Fawcett was Shlukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Just a little while south of the line is a legend to my town. Free time in the bottle, get me wandering, get you hanging round. When our eyes made up, and I still feel the stuff. But all this trying is getting tonight, I'm bound to be your love. Oh, that clarity pulls the smoke out of my dreams. What if you want my missing piece? Be more than just a song to sing, my baby. That cushy chip was exactly what I needed. The tunes that give you want to help you in believing. If this nice guy's past has burned their last, no more return with all I've learned is to find what's true has. Oh, that clarity pulls the smoke out of my dreams.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was Clarity from the Blackwater Railroad Company, who will be in town this Friday and Saturday, I believe, and they'll be on the show Friday to talk about their new record that they recorded last winter right here in Juno. Time now for our check-in with the USDA Forest Service, who has begun a massive project called the Tongass Forest Plan Revision. It has many components, and today we're going to chat a bit about the Cube Cove Restoration Project, as well as some other fun topics, including the selection of the Capitol Christmas Tree from the Tongass National Forest. Joining me today is Laura Buckeit, Deputy District Manager with the Forest Service. Gunathchish, for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasaiti, how's it going, Laura?
Great. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's so good. So let's start. I said a lot of stuff right there. I said a lot of big words and a lot of big plans and revision stuff. So let's just remind folks, what is the Tongass Forest Plan Revision?
Absolutely. The National Forest Service, like many federal agencies, go through regular review of plans. And the plans are at many levels, local, regional, and this one, the Tongass Forest Plan, is for the entire Tongass National Forest, which of course is the largest national forest in the nation. So it encompasses a lot of land and resources. And it's been a while since the last revision, and this is an opportunity for public engagement, for the local communities, the national, but public on a national level too, to inform the Forest Service of what's important to them. Of course, there's certain topics and areas of note, and whether it's timber management or recreation. And in particular, right now, there's a open feedback period for the wilderness suitability process, which is a part of the larger Tongass Forest Management Plan. And that's for the public to feedback, weigh in, submit areas that they feel might be suitable to be included in the National Wilderness Preservation System.
Gotcha. Okay.
Of course, the Forest Service doesn't make the ultimate decision about designated wilderness. That's a congressional decision. But the recommendations would go from the Forest Service to Congress.
Right. So they look at what this report is and what this revision plan is, and they take that into consideration when they're making their decisions. And this feedback period for the wilderness suitability process is still ongoing. I know it was people have until September 14th, right?
Exactly. So,
and this is, and really this, I think what we learned from Barb Miranda a couple months ago was that the Tongass Forest Plan revision, we're just in the beginning of it, right? This is just like the first few months of this, and this is planned to go on for a couple of years to get all of the detail and all of the different pieces of it together, right? Okay.
There's been a series of community workshops in communities. I was able to participate in the ones here in Juneau and in Haines, Skagway, Angoon, and those were, again, still first steps to gather feedback, to have conversations with the communities in person. And there will be more. There'll be more opportunities for workshops, in-person conversations. And of course, there's always the opportunity to comment via the website.
Right, for sure. And one of the best ways, I know a lot of times government services or things like the USDA Forest Service, the websites can get long and complicated, but the best thing to do is just put in your search engine of choice the words Tongass Forest Plan Revision, and it will take you to that. Or the other thing that we're going to talk about, which is Cube Cove Restoration Project, if you just put that in your search bar, it will bring up the page that is the algorithm's working. So it will bring you to the right page because these are long, complicated website names. And so they're hidden down the slashes a little bit. It's very important stuff for people to learn about and to find out about. So let's move to this Cube Cove Restoration Project. I know, can you tell me what that means or where it is and all that kind of stuff for those who may not know?
Really exciting project. And Cube Cove is on Admiralty Island. Mm-hmm. And so part of the Admiralty National Monument, and now part of the Kootsnoo Wilderness as well. Cube Cove is that there's a restoration project underway. And it's been several years in process in with public engagement and assessment and planning. And it's gone through the environmental assessment process. And just last Friday, the decision notice was signed. And it's Cube Cove is a really unique area, naturally, environmentally, as well as socially. And it covers five watersheds, almost 20,000 acres. It was industrial logged in the late 1900s. And then in 2020, it was purchased by the Forest Service. And upon transfer, it became designated wilderness, part of the Kootenai Wilderness, as well as being on Admiralty Island, part of the National Monument. It has a history that is associated with Anilka, and the Forest Service intent now is to restore the fish habitat and the natural processes and the wilderness characteristics to this land that has been altered by the industrial logging, by the extensive road system and bridges and culverts that have been put into place. So the Forest Service intent is to jumpstart the return of the natural processes, and again, to restore the fish habitat. It really affirms the Forest Service's commitment to the community of Angoon. Cube Cove is just 20 miles north of Angoon. It's really their backyard. And we're really excited that it also, this project incorporates the workforce development. There is a team of five from Angoon. There's a five-person crew, the Angoon residents, that have been hired, were trained, and were doing work throughout the Tongass, and this week are able to go to the Cube Cove area, to their backyard, where they have family ties, and can start doing the repair work to pass along the legacy of natural resources to future generations.
That's really cool. So a couple of clarifying questions for this process. So you mentioned last Friday the decision process. What does that mean exactly?
Good question. There's so many processes in our bureaucratic systems. As part of the NEPA, or National Environmental Protection Act process, there's assessments done, there's recommendations, there's various alternatives that are offered to the public for comment. And then after a comment period, those comments are reviewed, pulled together as part of the environmental assessment. And then the Forest Service makes a decision incorporating the comments from the public. There was an objection period, and there were comments received as part of the objection period. Those comments were also incorporated into the decision notice.
So the decision notice is something that allows then the work to be done, like you mentioned, these folks from Angoon being able to start this work because of that decision process?
Exactly.
Or decision notice is what it is.
Exactly. Okay. Signed document by the district ranger that allows the project to move forward. And of course, the Forest Service isn't doing this alone.
Right.
Like many really great, worthwhile, and challenging projects, it's a partnership. And so we're working alongside the partners of Kootenai Incorporated, as well as SOC, the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition, that are working alongside the Angoon crew and Forest Service employees to do the work on site to restore the hydrology and the fish habitat.
I see. Okay. And one more clarifying question is, can you define for us what a watershed is?
Question. The watershed is one area where if rain falls in that area, it all funnels to one outlet to the ocean. So watersheds can be small or large. It can be a small puddle. In this case, it's where the mountain range forms the catchment system, I guess, to funnel the water to a certain stream or lake.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. That's perfect. And what is, I'm just curious too about, as you mentioned, the district ranger, and I introduced you as the deputy district ranger. Mm-hmm. What does your job as a deputy district ranger entail? Because I know a lot of times people are like, they think they want to maybe go work for the Forest Service because it sounds awesome. And so what is it that you do as a deputy district ranger?
Right. Is to work alongside the district ranger. Fly along in his coattails. Yeah. And though have equal decision-making authority to sign documents, to make decisions, to guide the work of the employees. And I think the district ranger, current district ranger Mike Downs, and I share the philosophy of employee support too. We really, that's one of our primary duties, we feel, is to support the good work that the employees do and make sure that they can do the work ahead and in front of them, and to really help in taking the management to the management responsibility in order to make sure things don't get in the way of the employees that work with us on the Juneau and Admiralty districts. And that's so inclusive of the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center and the fish biologists and the engineers and the maintenance. There's such an amazing team that we have an opportunity to work with.
How many districts are there in the Tongass National Forest? Do we know? Oh,
such a good question. I should know that on the tip of my tongue, shouldn't I?
It seems like, because at first I'm thinking, oh, there's one district, but really it's too big to be one district, right?
Juneau Ranger District is the largest district on the Tongass National Forest. So, you know, by corollary, the Juneau Ranger District is the largest district in the nation. And now it the Juneau Ranger District and the Admiralty National Monument, the Admiralty Ranger District, are both housed in the same building, or the workforce is housed in the same building. And Mike and I collaborate on supporting the work of both of those districts.
And your background, I'm curious about your story. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you get involved, and how did you climb up the ranks?
Right. There's so many stories of Forest Service employees, how they got to be where they are. I am actually relatively new to the Tongass National Forest, though the first time I worked as a Forest Service employee was here on the Tongass in 1998 as part of my really bonding with Southeast Alaska. Mm-hmm. I had been working at Glacier Bay National Park, just across the waters, and spend one winter with the Tongass working out of Juneau as a ferry ranger, one of the rangers that worked on the Alaska Marine Highway, educating the visiting public and communicating with the local communities, residents in the Tongass, all the way from Bellingham on the journeys up to Skagway and Haines. And it really, for me, that winter, working alongside the communities and hearing their stories really made such a huge impression on me, the care and commitment people have to this land and these waters and this place. It also, connecting with the forest management plan, that was just after the 1995 forest plan revision. And I remember the energy, the energy of the public that had just gone through that really engaged time of communication and raising their voices to influence the management plan of the Tongass. Now, some of the issues are the same, some are different, but I remember that engagement and that passion for place. And that's one of the qualities, one of the reasons why I kept on coming back to Juneau and to Southeast Alaska. It was in 2012 that I moved my family to Southeast, and we've lived here year-round since then. But my background has been with the National Park Service. That's been my career throughout the country, but the majority of it here in Southeast.
That's wonderful. And I know that we just had some, you know, we had some major flooding here recently. And is the Forest Service involved in that at all?
Absolutely, on many levels. And truly, our hearts and our thoughts are with those most impacted, the Forest Service employees and the entire community involved at this time. And like many big challenges, there are many people involved in both taking care of the people and the places most impacted, but also looking for solutions, looking for ways to both mitigate and prevent in the future. So we are one of the entities that's at the table and involved in conversations. We learned a lot last year along with the city of Juneau and other organizations that we applied to this year. We've learned a lot this year that we will continue to discuss and be at the table and look for ways to support and be involved.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. It's really wonderful. I love how our community comes together in this time of need, for sure. Mm-hmm. So in the remaining minute or so that we have, I just wanted to mention the fun news that the Capitol Christmas tree, which is the Christmas tree that will be at the Capitol, not in the state of Alaska, but at Washington, D.C., has been selected from the Tongass National Forest. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, this is the first time that the National Christmas Tree, which always comes from a national forest somewhere in the nation, this is the first time it's coming from the Tongass. As you can imagine, the logistics are incredible. It is coming from the Wrangell Ranger District, so just south of here. And several trees were selected by the district to offer for selection to the Capitol architect who came out recently and chose the one that will be cut in October and start its journey. I'm over water and across land, about as far as we can get right here to Washington, D.C. And so it is really exciting. And there will be a cohort of Forest Service employees that will accompany the tree in its journey and share information and education about the Tongass National Forest and all of the many stops and communities along the way, all the way across the country.
It does a tour across the country, right? Yeah, that is going to be so cool. And it's amazing that it's never come from the Tongass, the largest national forest in the country.
Maybe
because of the logistics, but let's see how it works this time. It's going to be so cool. So when we're seeing those celebrations and those things on the television, we'll be knowing that that's coming right here from...
And there's still a need for ornaments because all of the ornaments are going to come from Alaska as well. So there's more information. Again, you can Google it for National Christmas Tree, Tongass National Forest Christmas ornaments. We're accepting them until September 15th. You can bring them to the district office in the Valley or the Visitor Center. There's more information. Please, please contribute.
I love it. Thank you so much, Laura, for being here today and telling us all about the Tongass Forest Revision Plan as well as other things.
Thank you so much.
That that'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we'll learn about the Alaska Talking Book Center at the Alaska State Library. Plus, Mark Wheeler, former owner of COPA, is sharing secrets and recipes. Find out more tomorrow on Juno Afternoon, which airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Junook Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.